Morning, and welcome to episode 9 of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disk. Yes, welcome back to Installing to Disk, the gaming podcast that tells you everything you need to know about gaming. I'm Jordez, and with me as per usual is...
Alright, me.
And his name is...
Nicknameless James.
And that's Nicknameless James. We're back with another great episode after our couple of E3 specials. We're back to our normal format. So, in this episode, there's going to be some rumours about...
Some supposed Xbox Nigel stuff.
In the news, we've got some news about the future of the Need for Speed franchise, which everyone will be interested in.
Oh, goody.
And as always, we have the Retro Roundup, where James has been playing Penetrator, and Game of the Week, where I think we've both been playing games this week.
Well, yeah, that's probably the first time in about a year and a half, isn't it?
It is. It's nice to be back on track for a change. So, let's kick this episode off with the news. EA's COO, Peter Moore, has announced
Is that CEO?
COO.
What's COO?
Chief Operating Officer.
Oh, okay. I'm glad that's been cleared up.
Yep. Peter Moore has announced that the future of EA is going to be in microtransactions, which doesn't seem that surprising considering that they're pushing DLC every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But
Are all the microtransactions already going to be on the disc?
Criterion, makers of games such as Burnout, have been handed the Need for Speed franchise. Criterion have already made a couple of Need for Speed games, and most notably Hot Pursuit, that came out in 2010. And they're currently working on Most Wanted.
Yep, the upcoming Battlefield 3 DLC.
Yep, as you said last podcast. Yes, so Criterion are going to be making the rest of the Need for Speed franchise. Will they make it any more like Burnout? That's what remains to be seen.
Probably.
Yeah, it's disappointing as a Burnout fan because Need for Speed has become an annual franchise now. And if Criterion are going to be the sole developers, then what's going to happen to Burnout? Nintendo have announced a 3DS XL, which is, as you might guess, a larger version of the 3DS, which is to be coming out in Europe on July the 28th. However, no price has been announced yet.
Am I right in saying that you foresaw this about 7 months ago?
Yes, I said that. Well, it wasn't exactly a difficult guess because they just love to make everything large.
Make it big, then make it small, then make it bigger again and call it XL.
The top screen has gone from 3.53 inches to 4.88. So it is going to be chunky to say the least. And finally, Valve have teamed up with Adult Swim.
Oh, for God's sake, this is one of my things.
This isn't a rumour, James.
It
this
was.
Is news.
Get on with it. You annoy me now.
To bring a Team Fortress 2 project to the network. We'll talk about this more in the rumour room.
Shall we just talk about it here then instead?
Might as well.
Right. Yeah. I'm assuming you've seen the Meet the Team. There was never one for the Meet the Pyro. He never had one. There's going to be a new game mode for Team Fortress 2 called Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
And that will feature... I don't actually know what this rumour is. I've just copy and pasted it. Let's just assume... Right, the Pyro's going to launch on the Xbox, Nigel.
So, is there an actual rumour here?
Probably not.
Yes, because what I was thinking that it would probably be some sort of... They would expand the Meet the Team little segments into a full show... Or possibly there would be some sort of McKinima animation show set in the TF2 engine.
I reckon, that would make more sense.
It would just a touch.
I mean, they've got, Robot Chicken, haven't they? And
yes.
All the other cartoony style things, and they go on with real people as well, aren't they?
Progression.
So you heard it here. Well, not first, probably about fourth or fifth.
But yes, so with that being a semi-rumour, we might as well move straight on to the full rumours in. Jeans' Rumour Room.
Yep.
So, what do you have for us this week?
Well, as I said earlier, there has been a lot of potential Xbox Nigel shenanigans going on.
As per usual?
As per usual. Yep. There was a leaked document which apparently had about 50-odd pages talking about the next Xbox, and said it will be released in 2013 and would include a brand new Kinect sensor at launch.
Yes, we've mentioned a couple of times that we predicted it would be... We might have said 2014, actually. But one of the things with the built-in Kinect is what I would assume it would be, because it also circumvents a patent that someone's got against the Kinect. I can't remember who it was. It might be Samsung or someone.
Right.
So by having one built in, they'd manage to get around the patents.
Might that be something else to talk about in the news, all this patent malarkey with Microsoft sued Motorola, I think it was, over a patent in their... Oh, what was it to do with? One of their smartphones, there was something that they weren't happy with. So Motorola countersued with a load of things that are in their smart glass technology, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or Xbox, something to do with the Xbox. And it's currently ongoing, this court case. And I think Motorola said there were 5 patents that Microsoft had infringed. And the court found 4 of them to be true. They had infringed them. So if it goes on, there could be a ban of Xbox 360s being sold in the US.
Oh, yes, I had heard about this, actually. It's been an ongoing case for about a month now.
Yeah. We'll just start the rumours again, might as well.
Yep.
Okay. Xbox Nigel is apparently going to be launched in 2013 and includes a new Kinect sensor at launch, and it will be in a bundle, which will apparently cost $300. This Kinect, but there's, I mean, in this document that's been apparently leaked, there's diagrams of this Kinect, the new sensor, and by the looks of it, it's two separate, I mean, you've got the normal Kinect sensor at the moment, which is that long black bar, and if you imagine that being split into two, and then put in one either side of the TV.
Two separate what?
Two separate sensors. That enables you to track up to 4 people at the same time. Other changes, Blu-ray disc drive, which was going to happen. I mean, was it L.A. Noire and Final Fantasy are on about 13 discs each for the Xbox at the moment, so...
Yeah, unless they come up with a new proprietary disc.
Bring back HD DVD.
Yeah, because they worked so well.
And there's going to be a focus on tablet integration, which, you know, smart glass, anyone could have seen that coming. Cloud streaming will also be more prominent on it. And there's going to some interesting in this leaked document is it talks more about the lifespan of this alleged console.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, you know, where they'll be in 2013, where they'll be in 2014. And around 2014, 2015, there's talking about the kind of virtual reality glasses kind of things that give heads-up display. And like a VR interface.
The thing I have about with a problem with this rumor is it just does sound to be just throwing all the current buzzwords around. I mean, cloud gaming, tablets, VR glasses.
I mean, what I will say though is what I've seen of the document, the diagrams and stuff is very high quality and really well done. So I don't know how much of a effort someone would go through to do it to that extent. So, I mean, usually when I find rumours of GTA 5 or something like that, or specs for the PlayStation 6, it'll just be list, banner, bullet points, it'll have this, it'll have this, but this document is really nicely presented, and then the legal firm that represent Microsoft removed it on last Monday or this Monday, on a Monday. They removed it from where it was originally available. So they're obviously trying to prevent it from circulating and how much, which is interesting, so.
Yeah, it is quite interesting. Be interested to see that if that does prove to be the real document, how rigidly Microsoft would stick to it, because just thinking like a few years ago, the Kinect probably wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the Wii.
Yeah.
So how trends would actually change the business plan.
Hmm. Okay, moving on. Still Xbox kind of related. Microsoft have launched, given details for a new tablet called Microsoft Surface, apparently. I haven't actually looked. But some features were apparently leaked for Xbox Surface. Now, at the moment, it's not known if this was like a kind of guess as to what this Surface thing was going to be, or if the Xbox Surface will be something kind of a high-end gaming version of this Microsoft Surface thing.
Okay.
But there's some technical specifications that have apparently been leaked for it, and looking at it, it does look pretty powerful. I mean, video output, 1080p, you know, PlayStation can do that, impressive, whatever, but then it goes 1200p and 1440p. I mean, what are you going to be able to show that on? that's incredible. It's going to be able to output far higher than a TV can manage. Four USB 3.0 ports and support for four wireless game controllers. So, pretty powerful, but as you said with the other rumour, it does just seem like a kind of fantasy wish list. So,
well, with this one, I don't understand why Microsoft would want to fragment the user base for a new tablet. It just doesn't make sense to me. Especially when the tablet's going to be so integrated with the Xbox, as we've seen with Smart Glass. It doesn't make sense to then add another third thing, which like almost combines the two. It just doesn't add up to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right, one of the jewels, well, the jewel of E3 was Watch Dogs.
Yep.
Which we both praised heartily.
It was no Rayman's Legends, but it'll do.
It was impressive. It came out of nowhere. It was slightly better than Rayman Legends.
2 out of 3 in bad.
So, yeah, but Ubisoft have been buying some domain names, which include WatchdogsMovie.com, WatchdogsTheMovie.com, WatchdogsMovie.com, and WatchdogsTheMovie.com with different lines
and
stuff in
them. What do you think this is hinting at?
Well, it is hinting at a brand new radio show for Watch Dogs.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, could we see a Watch Dogs movie? Are they just buying
IPs? No, there's not going to be a Watch Dogs movie.
You watch now. There will be. There'll be this brand new beautiful thing that'll come out and everyone will think, yes, it's real nice and creative, it'll be gorgeous, people enjoy it, and then someone will make a film about it. I guarantee you they'll release the film first and this piece of crap will just ruin it for everyone. It'll be the first time there's been a genuinely awesome spark of creativity in a few years, and then it gets ruined by someone putting, I bet Michael Bayer direct it.
No, it'll be Uwe Boll. He does all the video game ones and he always messes them up.
Is he the one who did like the Mortal Kombat film or something, or terrible films?
Yes, basically, more or less every video game one he has done, and he's messed up. And I think he did House of the Dead. Was that? Did that get made into a movie?
I don't know. I'm.
But yeah, no, it's not going to be a movie. I refuse to believe this.
I hope to God it's not. A survey that someone has taken online has hinted about a Gran Turismo for the Vita. One of the questions, just, you know, very simple survey, asked them if Gran Turismo was available for the Vita, would you purchase it? And another feature that it asked about was cross-purchase compatibility. So basically, if you buy, say, Killzone 2 on the PS Vita, it would then be free to download on the PS3 as well, which I can't see why that's a bad feature, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely, they're going to be looking at bringing a Gran Turismo to Vita.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's inevitable, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, it's one of the PlayStation's flagship games, so that is for certain. Whether it'll come out in time before the Vita's lifespan ends is another thing entirely. But yes, I've never understood why they've not pushed. Well, I do understand, because of money. But I would have thought cross platform purchasing would really have featured high. I'm not going to go out and buy a Vita and then buy FIFA 12 on my PS3 and then FIFA 12 on my Vita. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But if they said, all right, you can get it for like a 10 or more if you buy them both at the same time, I'd definitely go for it. So, yeah, I think that I don't think they will be looking into it, but I think they should if they're not.
Yep. So, yeah. Right, Grand Theft Auto 3 and Vice City may be heading to the PlayStation Network as their ratings have appeared on the ESRB.
Yes.
Not the first time we've heard about this.
No, what I'm actually fairly surprised is that they've not done like a HD remake pack and sold it on Xbox and PS3.
Yeah.
Because was Grand Theft Auto 3 and before weren't on any Xbox as well, were they?
No.
Grand Theft Auto 4 was the first one on it, so it makes sense for them. If porting it would be that easy, I obviously don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking earlier, who would do it? I mean, I'm not entirely sure what the process involves up in these games, if they are to HD or re-releasing them, but I mean, Rockstar North and Rockstar Leeds are both on GTA 5. Montreal have just finished with Max Payne. San Diego, Christ knows what they're up to. But I just think who'd be the ones to do it?
Yeah. Oh, I could not say it all.
Yeah. And that is it from the rumor room. Once again, another inconsistent foray into the misty realm of rumors.
Yeah, just carrying on from the HD releases. I can't say I'm too big of a fan of them anymore. I've playing the Metal Gear Solid one kind of just knocked me off them a bit, for want of a better term.
Yeah, I have played, yeah, the Prince of Persia ones were the first load that I played. And then I've got the Splinter Cell collection now. They've come in my latest rental. But before this, I had Tomb Raider for a couple of months. I just couldn't get into it. I couldn't be bothered. But that's probably just me. I'll give them a go again.
Yeah. Well, I always love to see an old game, though, so let's have a wander back down to the Retro Roundup, where last week I believe you were playing Penetrator for the ZX Spectrum, am I right?
Yep.
So, your verdict?
It's absolutely brutal. You control a little spaceship moseying along. You travel to the right side of the screen from the left, and there is loads of military bases on the bottom. There's spaceships taking off. There's things shooting at you. You've got to avoid hitting walls and shooting back at things. And it is getting used to the speed of everything and trying to keep up with it and knowing how you'll avoid objects. And because you'll keep moving regardless. The screen will keep revolving around. So you're always moving. You're always going to hit things if you're not keeping on top of it. But I suppose the unique thing about it is you can drop these bombs that you have to kind of plan the trajectory of them.
Okay.
So these military-based things like the satellites rotating around, as you're going along, you're shooting like machine guns forwards, and then you have to drop these bombs, like, not well in advance, but before you reach things so you know they'll fall and hit them.
Yeah.
And that took a while to get used to, but I like it. I like ZX Spectrum games. There's something nice about them. They're just very simple. And the final level, there's a big kind of military base thing, and all you've got to do is just drop this final bomb down this gap in the middle, this quite narrow space.
So we're basically saying that it's the Death Star.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sweet.
So yeah, I liked it. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Well, that's good. Since you said it was quite a difficult game, I'm going to make things nice and easy for you this week.
I think our definitions of easy are quite difficult.
No, this one's easy. because there's no real victory goal. You're going to be playing Little Computer People. This was released back in 1987 for the ZX Spectrum, Commodore 64, Atari ST, Amiga, Apple II, and I believe the Amstrad CPC, possibly.
Oh, I'll play it on the Amstrad. Do it for Alan Sugar.
Yeah, so you feel free to. This was... Many people see this as a precursor to The Sims, in a way.
Oh.
With Will Wright himself saying that he played Little Computer People a fair bit before making The Sims. So, a bit of retro simulation.
Nice. A bit of retro virtual lives to ruin.
Yep. So, yes, that's what you're going to be playing this week.
Nice.
So let's move on to the games that we were playing last week, and indeed the week before, in
Game of the Week. Game of the Week.
Yes. Do you want to kick things off, or shall I?
You start, because I need to remember what I've been playing.
Cool. This week, I have been playing Dirt Showdown.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
How disappointed are you?
Previously, I've played Dirt 1 and Dirt 3, and to be honest, wasn't a great fan of Dirt 3. It seemed to deviate from the rallying far too much.
Have you played Dirt 2?
No, I think I missed that one out.
Yeah, Dirt. I think Dirt 2's probably the best.
It struck a nice balance between hardcore rallying and... but Dirt Showdown just goes entirely the other way and is full-on arcadey.
Yeah.
I was quite skeptical at first because seeing every game, every arcade racer turn into Burnout, I was thinking that it was going to be Burnout again. However, Dirt Showdown's actually carved out quite a decent niche for itself. I mean, it brings in like destruction derbies and just like battle modes as well as racing. It's definitely a game much more for me than it is for you because myself being an arcade racing fan and terrible at simulation racing games, whereas you're actually pretty good in them.
I am far more into simulation games. I like having to control lots of... I mean, I've played the Showdown in... I think it was Game Station that playing at the front. And I had a go on it, and it just struck me how little control I had. Yet, it was... I don't think I braked once over the course of a race.
Yeah.
And was just accelerate, turn, and that was it. And easily won, and I couldn't... There was nothing... There was no challenge. I mean, maybe in other game modes it would be a lot more better, but I just preferred, say, Dirt 2 in a rally stage, and you're properly having to... I mean, Dirt games have never been, like, the most hardcore simulations, but they've always had a nice balance, as you say, but...
Yeah, Showdown I definitely agree with you with regards to the difficulty. It is too easy a game. And the only times that I ever lost a race was during the 8-ball events, which is a specialist race event where parts of the track intersect each other to create like a crossroads. So you'd like go around one loop and then it'd double back on itself and you'd cross over the same part of track you'd just done.
Okay.
This, in theory, sounds like a decent idea. I mean, it kicks up all the tension and stuff and then you think, am I going to crash going over this stretch of road? But what it is actually the most infuriating thing of all time, because you can do a race, you can be winning it by miles, and I've got to say, the rubber banding, there doesn't seem to be much, which is a nice surprise for an arcade racer. But you can be winning a race, and then you just come to this little crossroad, and you get absolutely sideswiped, and then you're straight into last. It's... you can see why they've done it, but it's just frustrating, especially on the later events where it's like 8 laps. And one sideswipe can take off half your health bar.
Yeah.
So you do 7 perfect laps, you hit the crossroad twice, boom, you've lost, you wrecked, you've got to start the entire race again. It's frustrating. It's a decent idea, but it just doesn't quite pull it off for me.
See, when I played it, I had the view of it that I got from when I played Twisted Metal with you.
Yep.
Of the, it's something that no way I'd pay full price for, but if I saw it on the PlayStation Network for about £8 in a sale, I would buy it.
Yeah.
And it just seems that kind of not a great amount of longevity to it. Some of it, pick up and play for 15 minutes or so, nothing too strenuous.
Yeah, well, definitely. There's a couple of points I'd like to add to that. First of all, it's not the longest game either. I think I put in about 7 hours and I completed it. And during the latter races, you'd win like the race, and then it would make you do the exact same race backwards. It's just artificially lengthening the game, which is poor.
Funny you should say that. Penetrator does that.
Yeah.
When you finish the game, you then have to play it going left.
That must be a much bigger challenge. And yes, another thing is, it clearly started life out as like a mod or something that one of the developers thought, wouldn't it be cool if we did this? And then it was built on from there. It could have started off as an expansion for Dirt 3, because a lot of the tracks are repeated from Dirt 3 and Dirt 1. I saw 1 or 2. I don't know about Dirt 2. I've been told that some of the tracks are repeated from that. So that was, it's disappointing that there weren't so many tracks that were being built for it in itself. It's there's enough. So you don't think that, you don't get annoyed that it's like an expansion pack, but there's not enough to feel like a full price game on its own. It's just stuck in that region between.
Okay.
So, yes. Dirt Showdown, definite rental.
Good advice there.
Yeah. So, what have you been playing in the time since our last podcast?
I haven't actually played it since the last podcast, but I was going to mention it in the last podcast. Metro 2033. Got it in the Steam... Well, it was one of the Steam deal things. So, yeah, bought that. I've put about 4 or 5 hours into it at the moment. And it's post-nuclear kind of survival thing, but it's more, yeah, it seems more realistic in, like, the weapons and the equipment. But there's still mutants, and I want to see a post-nuclear game where there's no mutants. I hate how everyone assumes that all of a sudden you're going to have, like, 6-foot rats running around. It's good. It took a while to grow on me, but I think the thing I don't really like is it's extremely linear.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked the freedom that, say, Fallout 3 had. But it's presented really nicely. Everyone has such cool accents, because, I mean, it's set in Russia, and it's in this underground Russian metro system, and before every chapter you've got the guy you play as reading, just saying what's happening. So you've got him like saying, "We moved through the tunnels, but after 3 days we lost contact with everyone else." And it's awesome having that before it, and there's a lot of atmosphere, there's a good mix of different things in that when you're with someone in the firefight somewhere, you rely on them a lot. But then when you're on your own, he's absolutely terrifying. And there's these mutant things that are like giant sloths who like kind of just scream and then run. And if you're going through a deserted building and turn around a corner with your flashlight on, hearing your breathing, and then all of a sudden you've got this thing like coming towards you, it is absolutely terrifying. I screamed so many times. I'm only 4 hours in. I've had flatmates when I was back at the flat hearing me scream because of it. It is terrifying. I don't know where I stand with it, because there's a few things that I really like, but then there's, you know, the linearity and stuff kind of plays against it, so gonna have to play it out and just see how it goes.
But I believe there's a sequel coming out to it, Metro the Last Light.
Is this like around the time when the bombs fell, I think?
Yes, I think that's in the next month, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'll probably be picking it up.
Yep.
So you will be hearing more about Metro in the upcoming podcasts.
Wicked. I still stand by what I say, though, in that I don't want to see mutants as much, if at all. Don't assume that everything will mutate. We haven't
Have you played Rage?
I haven't. That's what I was thinking. Just, I've got it. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, because I don't believe that has mutants, but I could be wrong. So, yes.
I'll tell you what I've picked up, though, maybe for the next podcast. Did you see it on Steam, on Steam the other day? Deus Ex.
Oh, yes, both. Yeah. I've already owned Deus Ex and Deus Ex Human Revolution, so...
Yeah, I've bought them, so maybe I can have an opinion on those as well. Oof.
Good stuff. Those will be in the next podcast, possibly.
Maybe.
But yes, that's all that you're going to get from our podcast. If you want any more video game news or reviews, then go to www.thereticule.com, which is where you may be hearing this podcast. If you're not, then we're also on iTunes now. So just search for The Reticule Presents Installing to Disc and subscribe. You will not be disappointed. Assuming you got really low expectations.
Yeah, I was just thinking, as long as you have low expectations, then these podcasts will do you fine.
If you that's what we're going for, people with low expectations.
Yes, yeah, our target audience.
So, that's the end of episode 9 of the Reticule Presents Installing to Disc. I've been Jordez. With me's been...
Nicknames James.
Any last words, James?
No!
Any last words, James?
No!
Any last words, James?
No!
And I will go with goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.